It's hard to know what to do next in the stock market.
Where am I? What am I doing here?
That's because one expert's rally is another's prelude to a correction.
Of course, people do go both ways.
One manager's buy is another man's sell.
Have you come to any conclusions yet?
Each day, the Money Life Market Call brings you a different expert's take on where to invest and what to avoid.
Now listen, Grapehead, I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
Just as important, you'll find out the reasons behind that thinking, and that should make your next financial decisions easier and smarter.
We do have a system, and it works.
It's the Money Life Market Call. Now.
The only reason we're here is to make catty observations and rude remarks. And that was nothing good on TV.
And we really like talking to smart money managers about how they do their job, especially when the times are as interesting as what we're living through right now. And today we're talking to Martin LeClaire. He is Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Barrick Yard Advisors. And it's Barrick Yard, B-A-R-R-A-C-K. Why am I spelling it? Because BarrickYard.com is the website, and at BarrickYard is the Twitter handle. So now you know how to find more information about Marty and the firm. Right now, however, we get to say, Martin LeClaire, welcome back to Money Life.
Thanks, Chuck. It's great to be here.
We always talk about methodology, that methodology is really important, and that even when we use terms like growth and value, that they mean different things to different people. Well, you have a methodology that, while it's not unique to you, you are very dedicated to it. So explain how it works so that people know what goes into your buys and sells.
Sure. So first of all, the thing that we like to focus on for individual investors is for them to really understand what an investment is. That's really where we start. So many people don't even really define what an investment is. And what we define as being an investment is really any asset, whether it's a company, piece of real estate, anything that can produce income for the potential benefit of the owner. So investment properties, you buy an apartment building and it's after all expenses, it's producing income for you. That's an investment because it has cash. Most companies that trade on the major exchanges that are profitable, they have positive cash as well. So those are investments. What we stay clear of is speculations. And a speculation is any asset which doesn't produce income for the potential benefit of the owner. Examples of that would be precious metals, commodities, companies that trade on exchanges that have negative cash flow, and there are plenty of those, that sort of thing. So that's the first thing we do. The second thing we do is we go through a whole process, and the way that I think your listeners should think about the investment process is what the investment process really is once you've identified an asset, you've identified the cash that's being generated from that asset, then how likely is it that that cash will continue? How likely is it that it will grow? And then what is management or whoever's in charge of that asset going to do with that cash flow into the future? And one of the things you can look at is the past to see how clever the management team has been and using that cash to build value. So that's really kind of the mindset that we have. In addition to that, and I think this really helps individual investors think through sort of the crazy times we live in, mm-hmm. and all times, I guess, are always crazy, is to think about what we call predictive attributes and factors. And a non-investment example would be the idea that eating well combined with daily exercise will lead to a healthier life than, for instance, living off junk food and being a couch potato. It doesn't guarantee a healthy life, but it increased the odds of success. You can further increase your odds of having a successful, healthy life by adding other predictive factors such as having a purpose in life, being connected to people you care about, and so forth. As you add more of these factors, your chances of success increase. And that's how we view investing. There are many factors in investing that are equivalent to eating well and daily exercise. And by combining these predictive factors, though no guarantee. I mean, you can eat well and get exercise every day and be surrounded by love and enjoy what you're doing, and you can still get hit by a bus. But it doesn't guarantee anything, but at least it increases the odds of achieving a successful investing life, just as it does in a real life.
Okay. So, you know, the interesting thing is all of those factors put a lot of things on the table for folks. And the one thing they didn't put on the table at all is, hey, look what's happening in the market right now. Look what's happening internationally. Look who's in the White House. Any of those other sorts of things. How much, if at all, do any of those big picture, but not company specific and not individual specific and not generating that kind of long-term, here's the business I want to own specific stuff, does any of it ever factor in?
Absolutely. A predictive factor is to not stress or be concerned about or even think about things that you have no control over. So, you know, I have no control, and I know certainly you don't have any control. Maybe some of your listeners do, but we have no control over what the stock market's going to do. We have no control over what someone is willing to pay for a dollar's worth of earnings. We have no control over what someone will be willing to pay for the companies we own or the asset that we own sometime in the future. So those are things that, you know, you live in Boston. I grew up in New England. I'm a big Red Sox fan. It's interesting to me to talk to my boys about how the Red Sox are going to do this year. You know, Sandoval evidently has shedded some pounds and, you know, things look great. But it doesn't change my life if the Red Sox choke again in 2017. But what the stock market does is interesting in the same way your favorite sports, talking about your favorite sports team is, but doesn't mean anything to you. And so what's important in terms of the big picture is to figure out what means, you know, what's important to your life. And certainly, you know, whether the market goes up or down this year has no bearing on your life unless you do a predictive factor such as, you know, sell into a declining, you know, bear market. Or buy aggressively at the top of markets. So that's kind of the way that we look at things, is that stay within the realm of really what you can control. You know, one of the great paradoxes out there is that everyone is a long-term investor. You know, we operate under the assumption that everyone wants to live a long time and nobody wants to outlive their money. So if you take that assumption, then by definition, everyone's a long-term investor. But the paradox is everyone's concerned about what's going to happen over the next 3 to 6 months, where the reality is if you're in your 50s or 60s, you should be concerned about how your assets are going to look in 20 to 30 years from now.
So what's a name or two that stands out to you right now as kind of the poster child for your methodology?
Well, what I would say is selectively in the United States, I think, you know, obviously the stock market, well, maybe hate to use the word, obviously. The stock market right now in the United States is trading at very expensive levels. And one of the things we do know, if you go to my website and see the five enduring principles, is that valuations matter and that the price you pay for an asset from the beginning is one of the biggest determinants in future rates of return. So if you overpay for something, it's going to take you longer to get a decent rate of return, and maybe you'll never get a decent rate of return if you overpay. So one of the things that we're concerned about in the United States is overpaying for things, but they're selectively. But to use my examples, for example, in Singapore, that's a mature market. They have the rule of law. And right now the Singapore market, for whatever reason, is one of the cheapest valuations not only in the world, but relative to itself. And reversion to the mean is an important enduring principle that we use. So we're looking now to places like Singapore and Hong Kong and Europe, where the markets are not expensive. And an example in Singapore would be Jardine Matheson. As value investors, we like to buy things at a discount. And this is a quality company that's at a double discount because A, it's in Singapore, so it's cheap, and B, it's a company, it's a holding company, so it's a company that owns other companies. And they've been in business since the 1830s. It has some of the predictive factors such as skin in the game management, The guys running the business actually own a big chunk of it. In fact, it's a family-owned business in a way. The current guys running the business are descendants of the original founders of the business back in the 19th century. And they own a conglomerate, a whole bunch of different businesses, everything from in the automobile industry. They own assembly plants in places like Indonesia. They own car dealerships in China. Mercedes-Benz is one of their marks. They own the 7-Eleven franchise in Asia outside of Japan. They have great property holdings. Their property business in Hong Kong was established in the 1880s. One of their properties is the Mandarin Oriental hotel chain. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as high quality of a business that is. So that would be the example. And you're getting at 11 times earnings and 3% dividend.
There we go. Well, now we're going to find out how you feel about some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
It's Hold It or Fold It time with Martin LeClaire. He is the Chief Investment Officer at Barrick Yard Advisors. If you want more information, barrickyard.com on Twitter, at Barrick Yard. You know how Hold It or Fold It works. We're a bit late getting to it, so let's just jump right in. And we're going to start with a request we got from Jack in Charlotte, North Carolina. He wants to know about Boardwalk Pipeline Partners. That's BWP.
Well, Boardwalk is actually one that we own. I have been an investor in Boardwalk for a few years, ever since they decided to break with the pack. It's a master limited partnerships, and they own a great network of pipelines, and I could talk for half an hour on this, so I won't. Bottom line is that if you're willing to be patient, the great thing about Boardwalk, it's one of the few master limited partnerships that is generating a lot more cash than they're paying out in a dividend. And what they're doing is they are keeping their investment grade credit rating while they do upgrades to their excellent system. When the system that they have was originally put in place, the way that natural gas flowed in this country was from south to north, and they've had to make some investments over the last couple of years to change the flow. And I think certainly within a couple of years, the dividend will go up significantly. And it's a core holding of ours in taxable accounts. And it's something that I would, at this level, you know, I'd like to buy it cheaper, but this level I think is probably fine.
I'm in this for the long haul.
So it's a buy. Might prefer a better price, but it's still worth buying. Boardwalk Pipeline Partners, BWP. Tony in Washington, D.C. wants to know about Fairfax Financial Holdings. That's FRFHF.
Fairfax I don't own, but I know the company very well. It's sort of like a holding company like Berkshire Hathaway, run by some very talented people. Bottom line is that I think it's a quality holding company. If you're willing to hold it, you know, 3 to 7 years, 10 years, I think it's certainly a good long-term investment.
Either gets on board or he gets left behind.
So that's a buy on Fairfax Financial Holdings, FRFHF. Dale in London, Ohio wants to know about Aqua America, ticker symbol WTR.
Aqua America is a company that I used to own. It's a high-quality business. The reason why I don't own it is because I'm afraid interest rates are going to go up, and it is interest rate sensitive. However, it's a very low-risk business model. I think their business model is programmed to deliver 8 to 10% returns over the intermediate to long term for any number of reasons, which I can get into. I could talk about this for a couple of hours. But I would say that if you're willing to buy something to put away and not look at, I think it's definitely worth considering.
But I
would like to buy it cheaper.
I was going to say.
So I would call it a hold.
This is a case where that price is not quite as good. So we sum it up this way.
I'm just taking my time before making the move.
Hold it if you got it. But if you don't have it, look for a better entry point on Aqua America, WTR. David in Grass Valley, California wants to know about Pargesa Holding. That's PRGAF.
Pargesa is a Swiss company, and it's they also have a sister company, which is part of the same structure called GBL, which is based in Brussels. Pargesa is, again, has all the wonderful attributes. It's like a European version of Jardine Matheson that I mentioned earlier. It's a kind of the repository of wealth for two of the richest Francophile families in the world, the Desmarais of Canada, and the Frère family in Belgium. It's a holding company that owns other blue chip companies. It's selling at a 30% discount to its net asset value. And if you want just a great long-term holding that will give you exposure to Europe, some of the best companies there, where there's skin in the game management and pays a decent dividend, and it's cheap, I think that you could do a lot worse.
Would you
buy
mind
it
stepping aside? I've got a purchase to make.
So that's a buy on Pargesa Holding, PRGAF. And last, in the limited time we have left, for Josh in Petaluma, California, it's New Jersey Mining Company, NJMC.
Just don't go there. It's a penny stock. I know everyone says, well, you pay 11 cents for something, and worst it can do is go to zero. It can only go down 11 cents. Well, the thing is the odds are significantly overwhelming that once you play with these penny stocks, you're going to lose all your marbles, and you're going to go home with nothing.
So, an obvious sell or avoid on NJMC, New Jersey Mining Company.
You're going to lose everything you have, and you're not going to have anybody give it back to you because it's a stupid move on your part.
There you go. That from Judge Alex. But we got our judgments today from Martin LeClaire. He is Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Barrick Yard Advisors. Marty, it's always great to chat with you. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Chuck. Anytime.
You can get more information at barrickyard.com, on Twitter at barrickyard. All right, we're just about done with the February 15th edition of Money Life, but there's much more to come this week. I'll set you up for the rest of our week, a little bit for next week, tell you about some new guests we got on the schedule, and more before we send you home right after this message.